Yo, welcome to another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We cover breaking news, culture, and magic warfare. We'll be your guide through the separation of money and state. Today, we're going to talk about incentives. We're also going to talk about the Cantillon effect. I know that some people say it differently. And the reason we're going to cover that is because Charlie Munger, who's been bashing Bitcoin for quite a while now, did a piece in the Wall Street Journal saying finally the quiet part out loud, which is calling for the banning of Bitcoin, right? So we're going to talk about why he's doing that, why this 99-year-old, right, that unless he knows something that we all don't, human mortality can only last for so long, right? What does he care, right? What does he care about what people are going to do into the future, right? Because look, like the reality is that like if you're under the age of 35, I would make the argument that Bitcoin is not a choice. Bitcoin is it's a necessity for your life, right? You've been definitely severely affected by this crazy money printing, the effects of that on society. And we've talked about this many, many times, right? If you are in the lower and middle classes, which the younger you are, you know, the less money that you make, the less, you know, opportunity you've had to build up a career, build up income, build up a business. So the reality is that the lower middle classes, right, that don't have the means to save in assets, you get poorer when they print money, right? It's the wealthy that do have the means to save in assets, therefore benefit from asset inflation, they get wealthier. Right, because they're holding on to stocks, they're holding on to real estate. Every time they print money, all that goes through the roof. But the real work hasn't been rewarded. The wages have stayed relatively the same. So what is that? What does that create? It leads to very, very powerful, very, very wealthy individuals. It leads to cantillionaire conferences like the World Economic Forum. And it leads to people like Charlie Munger that have most benefited from this system, screaming from the rooftops, when there's a clearly alternative, there's a viable alternative to that system, right? And it blows my mind how much it gets under his skin, you know, especially at that age. Like, why does it matter to you, right? So we're going to talk about all that. We're gonna explore this. I'm really excited. But first, I want to bring up my awesome co-host. How you doing, Opti? Everyone caught me. Like, I thought I had like 2 seconds before I could take my gum out. But it started, I was like, oh, crap.
Caught in 4K, bro.
Caught in 4K. How you doing this morning, bro?
I'm doing good, dude. Doing real good. Can't complain. Life's good, man. I get to do this every single day, and I get to come hang out with my buddy Nico every day. So, like, obviously, this is fun. This is always fun. But, yeah, man, this article dropping this morning, or I think it was last night, actually, man. There's some good dunking to be had today with this article. I'm excited for this one. And then also on the same vein, it's kind of something that I've been talking about lately. And we've got chastised in the past when we tell people that the revolution is taking Bitcoin into self-custody. Well, it looks like Jack Dorsey is taking that leap as well. And causing all kinds of good chaos and telling people to stack sats and taking the freedom tools or better yet, calling out the freedom tools so that people can use them. So I got a little story time on the culture today, and it's going to lean into this narrative that you and I have been pushing the last couple of weeks. So I think this is a good little learning point.
Absolutely. Well, I'm excited. That sounds interesting. All right, everybody, let's get to the numbers. Let's do this.
The Bitcoin numbers
brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse, because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
That's right, everybody. If you are not running your own Bitcoin node, you're using someone else's. Minimize that trust. Take back personal responsibility. Run your own node. It's just a very fancy way of saying you are running your own Bitcoin software. You have your own copy of the blockchain. Because if you don't, You have to trust someone else. And a lot of the problems that we are seeing today in clown world is caused because a lot of people have outsourced that personal responsibility, whether it is the storage of their wealth, whether it is the outsourcing of, I would say, education as well, right? So many of these things, right? Anyways, the Bitcoin price at the time of recording is 23,830 sats per dollar, 4,196 block height, 774,751 reachable Bitcoin nodes, 13,436 blocks to the halving, 65,249 halving estimates, April 24th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,314 Bitcoin. Capacity values around $126 million. The realized monetary inflation, I love that number, is 1.76%, continuing to take fiat currencies to absolute school. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin, $459 billion with a B. Anyways, I have a clip of Charlie Munger and some comments that he made about Bitcoin. And that's really what I want to focus today's episode on is let's talk about incentives, as I was saying in the beginning. Let's talk about why he feels this way. And also what the de facto, because if you're against Bitcoin, no, I was about to say it, right?
You're against Bitcoin, you're against freedom.
But, you know, that sounds like a meme, right? It's like, oh, you know, like it's over the top. It's hyperbolic. It's whatever. Look, you either want a money that is separated from state or you want a money controlled by the state. And what is the next iteration of that money controlled by the state? What is total control of money for you? Central bank digital currencies. So not only does he critique Bitcoin, right? He advocates for slavery money, which are central bank digital currencies, and he's taking his cue from communist China, right? And keep in mind, right, that the same government that is currently in control of China, right, is responsible for tens of millions of Chinese deaths, right? Same government, right? So advocating for that type of government that has been known for human rights abuses, right? The recent one is the Uyghurs, right? Like, that's crazy to me, dude. That is absolutely nuts. It's so nuts. Anyways, let's check out this clip. It's about a minute long, and then we'll talk about it.
Suppose you could make a lot of money trading freshly harvested baby brands. Would you do it, or would you say that's immoral? You wouldn't trade them, would you? It's too awful a concept. Well, to me, Bitcoin is almost as bad. It's not having any desirable social purpose. We've got debit cards. It isn't like we don't have a payment system. We've got WeChat in China, incredibly efficient payment system. China doesn't need Bitcoin. And if you have a WeChat, why would you do it in a medium where the value changes enormously? Nobody in his right mind would want a payment system where the very thing you were using went up and down by 20% in a day. No, I regard the thing as a combination of dementia and immorality. And I think the people that are pushing it are a disgrace.
So a couple things there, right? So we've talked about many times this concept of projection. Right, projecting onto us what it is that you feel you are themselves, what you feel you are yourself. Right, central bankers have described Bitcoin in so many of these interesting ways. Right, and I would make the case that, you know, he's projecting there. Right, the fact that he says that somehow Bitcoiners are immoral. Right, you know, what was that legacy media, corporate media post is called a psychopath. Got into that point. Right. Calling us immoral. And then again, once again, what he's suggesting is WeChat. Right. So thinking about WeChat that he fails to mention there is that WeChat gives the Chinese government complete and utter control over what people can say and who people can pay. Right. And the other aspect, which is no desirable social purpose. Well, I would make the rebuke to that. And I would say, well, Charlie Munger clearly has financial privilege. And take away, you know, his wealth, just put that aside for a second. What about someone in Venezuela, someone in Argentina, someone in Turkey, or someone in Afghanistan or Cuba, for example? Cuba and Afghanistan, I love those examples, or Nigeria. Shout out to our friends over there. Where in these countries, right, Bitcoin happens to be one of the only ways that you can interact with the global economy, right? When the U.S. pulled out of Afghanistan, one of the first things that they did was shut off the country from the global financial system, right? Bitcoin kept working in China. I mean, sorry, in Afghanistan, right? If you're a Cuban, right, you know, one of the things, if you send money to Cubans, the way that it works now is you could send money from Miami, right? There's a lot of Cubans here. You send money from Miami, you send money back home to Cuba, right? What the government does is they take the dollars, they pocket the dollars, and they hand you this version of the Cuban peso, right? So they take the dollar, which is considered a shitcoin, but for this example, let's say the dollar is the good money in that particular situation, and then they hand you a worse money. So they pocket the good money, and they hand you a worse money. Now, what does Bitcoin allow? Bitcoin allows, because it is peer-to-peer, it allows you to circumvent the gatekeepers of money, the intermediaries, right? So I think that's what it's about. I think it has to do with control, right? And someone who's benefiting from this system, why would they advocate for something that diminishes their control, right? And using that logic, it kind of makes sense why the Contillionaire Conference, which is the World Economic Forum, would be so against Bitcoin. It kind of makes sense why certain central bankers like Opti's ex-girlfriend, Christine Lagarde, would be against Bitcoin, right? It makes sense now, right? If you look at it from those lens, right? Why would they give up? Why would they want to give up control and power? Now, to kind of advocate for them a little bit, I don't think it's like, you know, a lot of people are like, yo, these people are demonic. These people are evil. Like, put all the conspiracy theories aside for a second. You know, it's American HODL that said this, right? No one's better than their incentives. Right. And they're not incentivized to give up power. They're not incentivized to give up control. In fact, they benefit tremendously from how the current system is. So why would they advocate for an alternative? Right. This also applies to the United Nations that came out with an article that said we must de-incentivize the adoption of Bitcoin and shitcoins in developing countries, without mentioning the fact that people are adopting Bitcoin and shitcoins in developing countries because the alternative is CBDCs, and CBDCs don't solve the problem of inflation. So even if you introduce a CBDC in Nigeria, for example, right, you still have double digit inflation. Why do you care? You know, and one last thing, and then I'll pass it on to Opti, right, which is what he was bashing Bitcoin for. And this is what the central banker's favorite excuse is. This is the excuse that Justin Trudeau used in that video that we played for you guys a couple days ago, right? Which is Bitcoin is unusable because of Bitcoin's volatility, right? Bitcoin's volatility makes it an unusable currency. Well, I would say Bitcoin is currently in the store of value phase, right? And then in a decade or so, right, I'm sure that once the volatility decreases, it will move on to the medium of exchange, right? It's not quite there yet, right? And at the end of the day, I still think it's doing great. Right. You know, these legacy currency systems have been around for decades and decades and decades. Bitcoin has only existed for less than 2 decades, right? Like around what, like 14 years it is. And, you know, it's already become legal tender in a country in Central America. Of course, I'm talking about the savior, El Salvador. And it's already, you know, and Michael Saylor, of course, you know, being brave and using or his theory of the case is Bitcoin is a viable alternative to put on your treasury rather than fiat currencies because of inflation, right? And he does all these beautiful examples about how fiat currencies are designed to lose energy over time, and Bitcoin protects that, right? So it's just crazy, dude. I mean, but that's what he said, and that interview was about a year ago. Fast forward, and now he's saying the quiet part out loud. And I would make the case that he's using the same excuse that Elizabeth Warren used to justify the bill that she introduced she's using the FTX blowup. So once again, dude, like the commingling of, you know, the faults of crypto, which in my opinion is like fiat times 100, right? And you're commingling it with Bitcoin. There's two things that are happening here, right? There's all the gambling and the speculation that is happening in the crypto aspect of things, right? The VCs, right? This is literally what it is. And then there is the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, which is a separation of money and state, which can only be truly achieved with something that is truly decentralized. There's two separate things that are happening at the same time. And unfortunately, the legacy media, and it gets to a point where I would start to say that they're doing it on purpose, are commingling the two, right? So fascinating. Very, very, very fascinating what's happening. Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on that?
Did you bring up the article? The like what he said this morning?
I'm gonna cover it in the news. I want to spend a lot of time talking about this.
Okay, all right, perfect. Yeah. All right, well, all right. My two sats on this is, you know, for being a proud American capitalist, Charlie really likes the, you know, the Chinese communist system. It seems like any chance he gets, he's always referencing it as like, this is, you know, the holy grail of how to coordinate human action. And it, to be honest, it's kind of disgusting. Like, you know, knowing exactly what's going on over there, knowing he even mentioned WeChat, you know, like as a favorable monetary system. And as we know, as Bitcoiners, it's like, you can get completely shut off from WeChat if you are not saying or doing the correct things. And like, this is the future that they want for you, is just to completely control every aspect of your life. And I mean, like, let's just get into like the level of criticism that Charlie Munger is talking about. You know what, like, he equated Bitcoin to debit cards. Like, this isn't what Bitcoin's about. Again, he referenced like volatility. Like, yeah, Bitcoin's volatile on a short term point of view, but like over the long term, number goes up. Like, Bitcoin is the only monetary network open to everyone. You don't need to go to a bank. Like, I put in a meme yesterday, like, Bitcoin is the only bank that's open to the whole world. And again, you know, we talk about it all the time here on Simply Bitcoin about the projection from the corporate press, from the Cantillon or the Cantillionaires. I don't know exactly how to say it. We should do a poll. Which way do you say it, actually? And it's about the level of projection from these people. Like, if anyone has dementia or is immoral, I'd say it's Charlie Munger. Like, this guy looks like a cadaver over here. I don't want to be, you know, ages here, but like, it's fitting that the rats are against rat poison. Like, Charlie and co have profited off the system, and so of course they're not going to destroy their cash pig. Like, stack baby brains, guys. Like, continue to stack sats.
What?
Like, lean into the memes, bro. And it's the level of projection. Like, man,
stack baby brains, because that's what Charlie Munger called Bitcoin.
Yeah, obviously. Man, it's just it's absolutely insane. You know, we say it all the time here on the show. It's these people in power, they do not have your best interest in mind. They do not want you to escape the matrix. So what are we going to do? We're going to take Bitcoin into self-custody. We understand what the game is. The fiat game is rigged against you. And the people at the top are obviously not going to give you the escape door for your own prison. Like, it's Bitcoin or slavery for a reason, is because the game is rigged against you. And of course, they're not going to push something that helps you get out of that. It's like, they make money, they profit off the fiat system. So of course, you know, Charlie Munger is not going to lean into telling you to take Bitcoin into self-custody.
Amen to that, brother. All right, everybody, let's get to news. Lots to talk about.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. All right, everybody. So before I get into the Wall Street Journal article, I want to talk about the Cantillon effect, because incentives are important. Right. And you have to understand, like, for you to understand why Charlie Munger is saying something like that, you have to understand his incentives. Right. And I think that this is very appropriate to understanding that. So this is defining it. It's an article article or a post by the SWF Institute. Yep. And the name of the article for audio listeners is "What is the Cantillon Effect and Why It's Even More Important Now?" A Cantillon Effect is a change in relative prices resulting from a change in money supply. It is the uneven expansion of the amount of money. 18th century French banker and philosopher named Richard Cantillon coined the term. Born in the 1680s, wrote an essay called Essay on the Nature of Trade in General, also referred to an essay on economic theory. Cantillon preceded Adam Smith by a generation. Since the 2000s, as the world's largest central bank started to run out of policy tools, many are aggressively creating new money during each major financial crisis. The current status of the U.S. economy is experiencing inflation expanding during the Biden administration at record levels, resulting in an increase in prices that are occurring in energy, blue-collar, labor, and food, but not in other products and services. With the creation of the U.S. Federal Reserve and the U.S. exiting the gold standard, the Cantillon effect has favored investors and owners over workers, parentheses, wage earners in the aggregate. So kind of makes sense, right? It kind of makes sense why someone like Charlie Munger would say what he said, right, after reading that, right? It benefits the Cantillon effect has favored investors and owners over workers, right? And then think about who the majority, now think about the generational thing. Who do you think, generationally, who do you think are the majority of investors and who do you think are the majority of owners, right? And they obviously want to keep it that way, right? So now that I said that, it kind of starts to make sense why the Cantillon conference propaganda is you own nothing and be happy. So if you don't own anything and be happy, who's going to own everything? Right? They will, of course. It kind of starts to make sense when you were connecting the dots. So here's the Wall Street Journal article. It dropped yesterday. It made quite a splash on Twitter. And another thing that I would tell to Charlie Munger is, like, you know, so supposedly someone who's a huge fan of the free markets, like, how could you be a fan of the free markets and also call for the ban of something? If you are so confident in the dollar, in the adoption of the dollar and the continued use of the dollar, you'd want the dollar to beat something like Bitcoin on the free market. But they don't want to compete fair. It's not about fair competition. This is about, we have to continue doing this. And this is why I'm also not a fan of legal tender laws either, right? I think legal tender laws are BS. And specifically here in the US, like, why are we being forced by law to use a money that is designed to lose value? And that, what I just said just now, and we were actually talking about this last night on Simply Bitcoin IRL with Dr. Jeff Ross, is that's why when the White House, they released their executive order that led the U.S. Treasury to write a report that was titled The Future of Money. In that entire report, they mentioned payment platforms, they mentioned stable coins, they mentioned CBDCs, but they don't mention Bitcoin. And I think, like, why aren't they mentioning Bitcoin? The reason they can't mention Bitcoin is that for them, they don't even want people to conceive that money can exist without it stealing from you. And the reason that they don't want you to even conceive that is because how the current system is set up is the government can spend an unlimited amount of money via deficit spending. Right? They could spend more money, and they do this every single year. The U.S. spends more than $1 trillion every single year than it collects in tax revenue. And the reason that they're able to do that is because of the money printer, because they've normalized this idea of inflation, right? What Bitcoiners are saying is that that doesn't need to exist, but they can't even normalize it. They can't even give it, you know, the time of day. Why should they? Anyways, let's check out the article. It's titled, Why America Should Ban Crypto. It isn't currency. It's a gambling contract with a nearly 100% edge for the house. I would like to make the argument, who's the house in Bitcoin? There is no house, right? And a house is, it's a gambling term, right? The, you know, whenever you go gambling, whatever game you play, whether it's blackjack or, you know, the machines or whatever it is, whatever floats your boat, right? The house always has an edge. The casino always has an edge. So that's what he was referencing. So, like, But Bitcoin, it's rules without rulers, right? You are the one running the software if you run your own node, which is why we advocate for it. You could build one or you could buy one. Obviously, we recommend our sponsor, Noddle. They're freaking awesome. Check them out. But of course, it's the commingling of the two things, right? It's like we are going to use the fault of crypto, which in my belief, right, it's the fault of all centralized money. And we're going to commingle that with Bitcoin and kind of create this obfuscation layer and hope that people won't notice. Well, you can only do that for so long. And of course, why do I say the commingling? Look at the thumbnail that they're using. It's two pictures, not one picture. Usually we put one picture of the person we're going to cover in the thumbnail. They wanted to make it very clear that crypto somehow has to do with SBF, right? Anyways, in the U.S., it's about a two-minute article. In the U.S., heavily owned companies have issued thousands of new cryptocurrencies, large and small. These have later become publicly traded without any government pre-approved disclosures. That is true. That is what happens when Binance creates a token. That is what happens when FTX creates a token. That's what they're doing, right? But this isn't Bitcoin. Bitcoin, there is no privately owned company. Anybody could issue more Bitcoin. Anyone could make more Bitcoin. But you have to go buy a miner. You have to pay for the energy. And you have to mine it just like everybody else. There's only three ways to get Bitcoin. You have to buy it, mine it, earn it, or steal it. There's no free printing there. There is no just P button that you could press and it just creates, just comes out of thin air, right? And the argument that I would say to this first line is no one should have the power to create money for free that someone else has to work for. I refuse to use a money that another man can create for free. That's what I would say to this. Anyways, in some cases, a big block of cryptocurrency has been sold to a promoter for almost nothing, after which the public buys in at a much higher prices without fully understanding the pre-dilution in favor of the promoter. That's also true in the crypto space. All this wild and woolly capitalism is much like that described in a remark often attributed to Mark Twain, who was thought to have said that a mine is a hole in the ground with a liar on the top. Such wretched excess has gone on because there is a gap in regulation. A cryptocurrency, not a commodity and not a security. Instead, it's a gambling contract with a nearly 100% edge for the house, entered into a country where gambling contracts are traditionally regulated only by states that complete in laxity. Obviously, the U.S. should now enact a new federal law that prevents this from happening. Two interesting precedents may guide us into sound action. In the first precedent, the communist government of China recently banned cryptocurrencies because it is widely concluded that they would provide more harm than benefit. And in the second precedent, from the early 1700s, England reacted to a horrible depression that followed the blow-up of a promotional plan to get vast profits by using slow-moving sailing ships to trade with very poor people halfway around the world. What the English Parliament did in its anguish when this crazy promotion blew up was direct and simple. It banned all public trading in common stocks and kept this ban in place for about 100 years. And in that 100 years, England made by far the biggest national contribution to the march of civilization as it's led strongly in both the Enlightenment and the Industrial Revolution and to boot spawned off a promising little country called the United States. Do you see the framing, man? We must ban Bitcoin because it will lead to the most prosperous 100 years you've ever seen. This dude's 99 years old, but holy cow, the framing here, the framing, the audacity. And also remember the first example that he said, he's like, we must do this because this is what the Chinese Communist Party did, which I find fascinating. What should the U.S. do after a ban? And if cryptocurrencies is in place, well, war action might make sense. Thanks the Chinese Communist Party, communist leader, for his splendid example of uncommon sense. We must thank Xi Jinping for, I mean, there you go. If they try to ban, Bitcoin and cryptos in the United States, Charlie Munger is telling you who we should thank. Anyways, let's take a look at what the F happened in 1971. And I'm going to connect it with the thing that we were talking about earlier, right? The Cantillon effect. And it's the idea that the Cantillon effect has favored investors and owners over workers in the aggregate. Now, they said that is since the 2000s. But really, this has started happening since 1971. 1971 is when Richard Nixon took the U.S. off the gold standard. Basically, it allowed the U.S. government to print as much money as their heart desires. And that really led to the stagnation of the wages, right? But again, if you were in very close proximity to the money spigot, you've gotten tremendously wealthier. Now, from someone in Charlie Munger's shoes, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you're like everybody else, that sucks. And this is why we Bitcoin. Anyways, so growth in productivity and hourly compensation since 1948, it's been pretty close together. 1971, compensation has only risen 115%, while the productivity has risen 246%, right? Also, real GDP, real wages, and trade policies in the U.S., and again, around that 1971 number, real GDP per capita has gone through the roof, while the real median weekly earnings of full-time workers has stayed relatively stagnant. Income gains widely shared in early post-war decades, right? So in 1971, you started seeing the difference, right? And it's just example after example after example. You know, if it was just one example, you would say, okay, that's a coincidence. But the fact that there's so many examples, you can't say that in good faith that it's just a coincidence, right? You can't say in good faith that it's just a coincidence that around 1971, right, that trend started to happen, right? So I don't know, man. I think it's disgusting what he said. I think it's short-sighted. I think it's also completely irresponsible from someone who's coming. He's so influential, so wealthy, right? And why do you think he's dropping that in the Wall Street Journal? It's not for us peasants to read. He's hoping to pressure some regulators, right? To, hey, you guys have to act on this. And that example that he used of the British, right? Like, dude, like, talk about like taking things out of frame, you know, to fit your political ends, right? It is such BS, dude. And I'm going to tie this up with the piece, the very powerful piece that Corey Clipson wrote, CEO of Swan, right? The race to avoid the war. This is why it's so important, right? This is what the race is. You want to know what the race is? There you go. Here it is, right? This is what it is. You're looking at it, right? There are very powerful people that stand a lot to lose if Bitcoin succeeds. Now, it doesn't mean that they could say, you know what? I'm just going to jump on the Bitcoin train and I'm going to benefit like everybody else. No. They don't want that. They want special privilege. They want to hold on to that power. Even if it means everybody else loses, they want a special seat at the table. What Bitcoiners are saying is like, dude, there shouldn't be a special seat, period. Everyone should have a seat. Everyone should have the ability to save for a better future. Why is this such a hard ask? Why is it so bad that we are able to save, store, or spend money that doesn't steal from us? Just put it as simple as that. Why is that so crazy? Why does that piss some people? Why does that drive them so up the wall? Because we're not asking something crazy. It's not a crazy ask, right? So anyways, dude, what do you think? What are your thoughts on the Cantillon effect? That's why you broke up with Christine, right?
Well, I tried to cozy up to the Cantillon insiders, but she wouldn't give me any money myself. So, I could only be a sugar baby for so long, Nico. But yeah, man, I mean, just in layman's terms, I know you gave like the official long description of what the Cantillon effect is, but it's very simply like those closest to the money supply benefit the most. And the Cantillon effect is why you're poor. The unproductive class get to print money. They get to buy assets. And in the process, all the prices of everything else gets inflated for the average person. Like, this is the name of the game. And this is why Charlie Munger and co. obviously don't want you guys owning Bitcoin. And to be completely like technical, I'd say like he's not really wrong in regards to crypto. Like crypto house does always win. You know, they have pre-mined shit coins. There's private companies that are in control of those tokens. But Bitcoin is not crypto. And this is what we continuously try to talk about here. Like there's no pre-mining Bitcoin. There's no privately owned company that runs Bitcoin. There's no head to chop off. Like Bitcoin is fundamentally different than cryptos. And Senator, what's his name? Warren Davidson said, you know, there's Bitcoin and then there is shitcoin. And I mean, in my opinion, this is just kind of the then they fight you stage. Like, at least we know where the narrative is going to go. He said it in that one paragraph that Nico was laughing about the 100 years of England. It's like they are going to angle Bitcoin as Bitcoin is bad for society. Like, be ready for it. Like, this is the end game. Right now, they're just saying, you know, oh, it's for speculative reasons. It's for gambling. But it's only a matter of time before they try to blame all of society's ills on Bitcoin. We've seen it happen in the past in regards to the internet, in regards to all kinds of technology. And this is the then they fight you stage, guys. Like, they're going to completely come out full direct attacks on Bitcoiners and Bitcoin with the narrative Bitcoin is bad for society. Like, just prepare for this. This is why I tell you guys to get your mind right, get your body right, because this is the spiritual warfare that we are heading into. Like, all out attack and calling us evil with their projections. And then, I mean, just to like, you know, zoom out a little bit, like, these dinosaurs are irrelevant. Like, we shouldn't be ignoring the noise, you know, build on the Bitcoin standard and ignore the fiat matrix. Like, Charlie Munger and co are very obviously ingrained in the fiat system. And this is how they got rich. This is how they got so powerful, is by playing the game. And so obviously, again, like I said in the beginning, they're not going to tell you that the game is rigged and that I made my billions off the back of a rigged game and, you know, basically just accept it, peasant. Like, it's really a slap in the face, because what do we try to do here on Simply Bitcoin and as Bitcoiners? It's just provide a money that stops stealing from you. Well, these people got rich by stealing from society and from the future. And so they're obviously not going to talk down on the very system that made them rich. They're fully ingrained in it. This is why they are able to be in the position they are. So as Bitcoiners, obviously, you should kind of be mad at this. Like, it feels like a slap in the face as far as I'm concerned. But hey, this is why we do what we do.
That's exactly what it is, dude. It's literally a slap in the face. And yeah, but I mean, this is why we call it the peaceful revolution. This is why we call it the separation of money and state. This is what it is. Like, these attacks will continue to increase as more and more people decide to opt out, right? And then the attacks will increase in severity, and they will be a lot more drastic. And I think that if you want to like kind of look at a playbook, and so far this book has been incredibly accurate. I think the only thing that they got majorly wrong was when they said it was the end of communist China. But other than that, they got a lot of things right, which is A Sovereign Individual. I really recommend reading it. And, you know, because so far it's really predicted a lot of how governments would react to certain things. And they also, of course, they predicted Bitcoin, right? Which I think is absolutely crazy. Anyways, all right, everybody, let's get to the culture. We got a lot to talk about.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, guys. Nico, are you going to do some of those plugs?
Yes, I am. But
we can do them later. All right, I'll keep it going. I'll keep it rolling while Nico figures it out. All right, guys, look, this is the culture. Oh, wait, here he goes. He's got it on the back end.
Guys, let me tell you about BitBlock Boom. It's going to be an awesome Bitcoin conference in Austin, Texas, August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 2023. It's not a shitcoin NFT or blockchain event. They talk about Bitcoin, Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin. Also, check out Unconfiscatable. It's going to be this awesome Bitcoin conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. Speaker list includes Tone Vase, Jimmy Song, Adam Back, Jack Maulers, Greg Foss, Mark Moss, and many, many more. You take advantage of the promo code SIMPLY10 for Unconfiscatable and Simply-Bitcoin for BitBlock. Boom. Anyways, Opti. She said something about Jack Dorsey.
Yeah, I got the receipts. I brought a couple tweets as well, but I kind of wanted to give a little context before. And it's something that we've been talking about a lot on this show for a couple of months now. It's this idea of like, look, you guys, you know, out there, there's a lot of talking heads. There's a lot of people that are focused on the problems of society. But as Bitcoiners, as someone that is a simply Bitcoin viewer, a friend of ours that shows up every single day in the chat, you understand what we understand. Look, we know what the problems are in the world. That everyone is talking about the problems, but very few people are talking about the solutions. And I've been saying for a while in the Twitter spaces and on the show as well, that I have a simple heuristic now. And if you consider yourself a freedom fighter, you know, you consider yourself someone that calls attention to the problems, you know, I'm out here for awareness and all this stuff. Well, I have one simple heuristic and one watermark. If you are not pushing people towards self-custody, naming the wallets that you like we do every single day, you know, the Bitcoin wallets that we like, Spectre, Jade, Cold Card, Seed Signer, Blue, Green, Breeze, Moon, Phoenix, Zeus. I might have missed one today, but I'll probably say it at least two more times before the end of this little bit. Then you are doing your audience, your Twitter following, your viewer count on the television or on YouTube or wherever you're streaming a disservice, because there's only one thing that is going to help us right now that's going to get us out of this situation, and that is telling people to take Bitcoin into self-custody. Again, you know, get Bitcoin however you want, whether it is providing your services for Bitcoin, whether it is, you know, no KYC, whether it's on exchanges like Swan. To me, I really don't care. I think more people need to be holding Bitcoin. And if you have a big audience, then you should be directing people to using the tools that are out there right now to take Bitcoin into self-custody. And if you're not doing that, then you're suspect in my book. And here, I'm bringing the receipts now. And, you know, say what you want about Jack Dorsey, you know, and what happened and what he's done, and particularly what he's been involved with in Twitter. I think that I don't know any insight in all that, but I think this is a learning moment for everyone out there. I don't care if you have a big following, if you have a small following, you need to be directing people into self-custody. And here we got some examples from Jack Dorsey. Shouts out to Jack Dorsey because he's doing exactly this. So first and foremost, let's just jump in here on his Twitter. He's got 6.5 million followers on his Twitter. And look, you can see he's got his Noster public key right there in his bio. And, you know, he's doing awesome work out here on Noster. And you can see here's William Kasserin. I probably butchered your last name, bro. Forgive me. But he is one of the devs that is building the Domus app that is on Noster. And look, you can see Jack over here. Just going, easiest way to feel the next level of Noster is set up a wallet. Look, he is pushing people to Wallet of Satoshi. Say what you want about Wallet of Satoshi, but he is doing more than most people out there that are just complaining about the issues out there. And he's pushing people towards self-custodying their Bitcoin, which I think is the most important thing to be doing. And furthermore, not only is he pushing people to self-custody, but he's pushing shitcoiners to self-custody. He's like, done. First Bitcoin, anything I've added in ages. And look at Jack. He's continuously doubling down. He says, boom. Now look into wallets where you own all the responsibility, like Moon or Phoenix. And this is what we're talking about, guys. If you have a following of any sort, then you need to push people towards the tools that you like to use, because this is how we get the signal out there, is pushing the Bitcoin wallets, the hardware signing devices, the mobile signing devices that we like. And look how much he's doing this. He literally basically broke Wallet of Satoshi because he's pushing so many people to self-custody. And this is the way, again, he's got 6.5 million followers on Twitter. And this is just kind of back to this idea that Nico and I, we got chastised in the beginning about this because we would start off our memetic warfare with just Bitcoin is the revolution. Taking self-custody is the revolution. And then we've upgraded it to every time we say this, I have to name the wallets that we like. You know, our sponsors, Jade. We love Cold Card. We love Seed Signer. We love Spectre, Sparrow, Blue Wallet, Green Wallet, Moon Wallet, Breeze Wallet, Pine, Zeus. Like, these are the tools that I use. I have, I don't know how many wallets I have on my phone. I continuously try to find new wallets and push people towards the wallets that I like. Like, I've been telling you guys, I've really been liking Moon Wallet. It seems to onboard people very quickly. You know, it's got like two options, send and receive. And as we get more people taking Bitcoin into self-custody, then this is an unstoppable revolution. Taking Bitcoin into self-custody is the revolution, but you got to name the names out there. So shouts out to Jack Dorsey for doing that as well, because this is what we have to do, guys. Like, this is how we win this battle. This is how we avoid the war, is by pushing people to these freedom tools. So I saw this yesterday and I just thought this is one of those defining moments that we talk about all the time. You know, like, if you have a big following, I've said this in the space, I've said this on the show, if you have any following at all and you consider yourself a freedom advocate, you know, there's a lot of people out there, like one person, I don't mean to like call people out, but like the Wall Street Silver guys, you know, like the whole GameStop crew out there, the Robinhood crew out there that basically called the bluff of Wall Street and they haven't found Bitcoin yet. And it's like, guys, if you just take Bitcoin into self-custody, we can fundamentally win here. All we need is more people stacking sats. All we need is more people taking Bitcoin off these exchanges. But if you have a big following and you're not pushing people towards self-custody, in my opinion, you're suspect and you are part of the problem. So if you have any following out there, continue to name the names of the wallets that you like, or else what are you doing? I'm going to have to call your intentions in question, because this is how we solve this. Is this really just about you guys gaining a big following, or is it about people getting on the Bitcoin standard and saving and taking Bitcoin into self-custody? This is why we continuously try to name the names as much as possible. At times it gets it. I'm a broken record, but hey, what gets repeated gets remembered, and what gets remembered gets repeated. So continuously repeat the names of the wallets you like, and let's get more people on self-custody, and this is how we win.
Boom, boom. Yeah, absolutely. And that, you know, I think you covered that great, Opti. And I think that one of the things that they're going to try to limit first, right, is like there's two social attacks happening, right? First, everyone kind of sees that one because it's been, I think, the more obvious one, which is the Bitcoin mining attack, right, on the energy usage. So that's number one, right? I don't think that attack's going to be so successful because the incentives are very powerful. And I give the example of China, right? So Chinese Communist Party banned Bitcoin mining, and within 9 months, the hash rate overcame the previous all-time high. And that was just because of Bitcoin's incentives alone. Take that, Charlie Munger. And number two eventually is going to be the social attack on self-custody, which we're already kind of seeing this a little bit with the redefinition of words, the term unhosted wallet, right? You know, it's like the normalization, right? It's like hosted is normal, unhosted is not normal, right? So it's like that vocabulary is introduced on purpose, and it's introduced for malicious reasons, right? It's like, look, we want to normalization the outsourcing of the storage of Bitcoin, so that we can capture it, we can continue being intermediaries, right? And if we can capture it, we can control it, right? It's very hard to control society where millions upon millions upon millions of individuals are holding their own private keys. It's very, very difficult to do that, right? So what are they trying to do? They're trying to keep the status quo. And Opti was absolutely right. Like, things won't change. Like, Bitcoin could happen. Bitcoin could go to the moon. But if we want change, right, if you actually want to effectuate political change, you got to vote. And you got to vote by taking self-custody of your Bitcoin, right? It's the most powerful vote you can make, right? Voting, you know, vote like you would do, like fiat vote, you know, do your vote, right? But the most powerful vote that you can make that will actually effectuate change, right, really change things, is taking self-custody of Bitcoin. And then be that Uncle Jim in your family. Like, you know, if your mom's a little bit old or your dad, you know, your grandparents, whatever, and they want to hold Bitcoin, be that person, right? Be that person. Anyways, yeah, man. Take self-custody. That's how we win this thing. Anyways, everybody, let's get to the meme review. Let's do it.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by KaboomRax. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is KaboomRax. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRax. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. KaboomRax.
Kaboom.
Okay, all right, you already know this is the meme review. This is your favorite time of the show. You watch all the news and all the numbers and the culture just to get to the meme review where your meme potentially can get featured. So drop your meme review score in the chat by the end of this so that we can cover it. As we say on this show, tweets are the bullets, memes are the artillery. Continue to put your hat in the ring. We are in an information war. I mean, look at the article by Charlie Munger. He gets it. It's the memetic war out here. So continue to counter the corporate press FUD, continue to ridicule your no coiner friends, and continue to get them on the Bitcoin standard. Anyways, today is Groundhog's Day. So I thought this was a fitting meme by memeing Bitcoin. He goes, breaking, Groundhog sees Bitcoin bull market ahead of us. We are in a bull market. If you guys saw Dr. Jeff Ross last night on IRL, you can tell that he has turned from Dr. Bear to Dr. Bull. So, hey, what's going on out there, guys? It looks like we might be in the bull run. Let's go.
No, Opti. No, bad Opti. Hey, bad Opti.
Please serve me familia. Anyways. Yesterday, I did plug Noster. But I thought this is a pretty funny screen grab. So shouts out to DirtGG, and he goes, maybe algorithmic feeds aren't all bad. And we got this tweet right here by Sean McNamara, and he goes, give me your best one-liner to orange pill somebody that doesn't understand Bitcoin. And then my friend Heather Everdeen, she just goes, fuck you. And so maybe the algorithmic feeds aren't all bad. This one seems to be working out. All right, this next one, shouts out to our friend at Jose_S_BAM. And he just goes, #Bitcoin. And it's a fortune cookie. And he goes, you should have bought Bitcoin under 20K. What are you doing? You should have bought Bitcoin under 20K. We are above 20K right now. Anyways, this next one is by @future_HODL. And again, he just goes, #Bitcoin. And then this is we got a few goldfishes and we got one goldfish, which is the Bitcoiner going against the stream. And it goes, what if you're right and they're wrong? And we got a bunch of different goldfish going with the flow. We got Wall Streeters, Jamie Dimon, central bankers, gold bugs, World Economic Forum, Peter Schiff, Cantillionaires, Shitcoiners, Chancellor on Brink, your wife's boyfriend, China, Web 3.0. I didn't see that one. Keynesians, Warren Buffett, IMF, Charlie Munger, and just the little golden Bitcoiner going against the grain and stacking sats and staying humble and providing value and saving in Bitcoin. It's a beautiful world we're a part of. Anyways, this next one is by @ThatsWhatHeSat. Thank you, #BitcoinMaxis. And we got this, I'm not even going to try to name anyone here, but we got, what is this? Like, it's a Godzilla meme, but I forget what the enemy of Godzilla is here. And he goes, the enemy is going, I have an interesting blockchain project. And then we got Bitcoin Maxis as Godzilla just torching your idea. Yeah, if you know, you know, this is how the last week was. And this next one, shouts out to our gold bug friend Jim in the chat. Thanks for coming back, bro. It makes me feel seen that we're doing something here that you enjoy to come back to, whether you like the message or not. Anyways, shouts out to Alois Schmalzel. Sorry, bro. I definitely butchered that. And we got a little worm waking up in the morning, goes, life of a gold bug. The worm wakes up. He's got his nightcap. He looks cozy in bed. He takes a shower. He looks in the mirror. He goes, getting pumped for the day. Then he goes out his hole, and it's 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. And then Bitcoin is the bird that is going to eat the worm. Let's go. Okay, and then on this vein, shout out to our boy RDBTC. He literally tagged me at the very beginning of the show, and I had to bring this on because it's just so fitting. Everyone knows the Simpsons meme of the old man yelling at Bitcoin. Well, old man yells at Bitcoin, hashtag Charlie Munger. And so we just got the gif of Charlie Munger, old man yells at Bitcoin. These dinosaurs continue to yell at Bitcoin. It's a beautiful world we're a part of, man, where we just keep winning. All right. Well, you already know my meme review score for today is another sticker. I'll change them up next week, so I'm not just all stickers forever. But I still have a lot of stickers, guys. So I have this moon sticker with a rocket ship with the Bitcoin logo on it. We are going to moon. We are mooning. Bear market over, confirmed.
I'm going to give it BTC Sessions news roundup tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's my score.
Let's go. Okay. Okay. Guys, you already know. Drop your meme review score in the chat. Plug in, represent.
We totally are. Anyways, guys, check out our sponsor, Represent LTD. I'm wearing the Simply Bitcoin merch. This is basically sold out. They only have large last time I checked. Opti's wearing the decentralized hoodie as well. Only on RepresentLTD.com. It is a Bitcoin company. They make awesome merch. They drop the Simply Bitcoin merch. Get yours while supplies last. You can use promo code Simply-Bitcoin. Get yourself a big discount, 10%. RepresentLTD.com. Anyways, let's get to some of the scores. First, Elaine. Shout out to you, Elaine. Elaine says, I give those great memes stacking sats till the cows come home and Bitcoin takes over. The P-Man Van gives the scores. I give the memes a... A statist. Bill O'Reilly, I give the memes a handcrafted Titan casket. Black with black, gold line interior, and army head panel for old Charlie Munger 1800. I feel like I got a lot of people riled up on the Charlie Munger side. Sorry, not sorry. K-Zen, I give the meme review. Nico caught in 4K with the gum. Guys, this is a live show, okay? I have no shame. Nihilist Fields, one score. Okay, for anyone who doesn't know and are tuning in late, Charlie Munger said that buying Bitcoin is the equivalent of buying babies or some baby brains. Like, it was something terrible.
Yeah, you said something like, if you could profit off selling baby brains, would you do that? That's the equivalent of what Bitcoiners are doing.
There you go. So Nihilist Fields says, one baby brain harvesting beach, one baby brain's the standard, and one... baby brain sessions.
Baby brain harvesting sessions.
Oh man. Dude, hey, for anyone who's tuning in, that was Charlie Munger's words, not mine. He compared, I don't know, dude, that's crazy. What? That's the first example that dropped into his head? Like, that is nuts. That's absolutely nuts. Shame on you, Charlie.
Vampire confirmed.
All right, guys, check out Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered. It is the written version of the show. You got to go to www.simplybitcoin.news. Check out our awesome writers, Zach, Paul, Winekiss, Matt, dropping Kumo. Hot fire. It's awesome. We got macro, culture, politics, lifestyle, all of it. Check it out. Also, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. Shout out to our awesome mod, DarthCoin. Holds it down over there. t.me/simplybitcointv. It's absolutely free. Join it now. Anyways, Opti software or pub site?
Site.
Site. Let's do it.
Bitcoin soft. Pleb sites.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel, and there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux Triangle, only on CipherSafe.io.
All right, guys, so today's site, this I'll drop this link in the chat because it is a little complicated. But we mentioned this, I think it was earlier this week. This is Luke Dash Jr.'s website about the current state of Bitcoin nodes. So We have been getting you guys telling us that there's more Bitcoin nodes than the Clark Moody dashboard says. So I wanted to plug this site because, as you can see, there's a lot more nodes out there. We're close to like 50,000 nodes, according to Luke Dash Jr.'s website. So this website, for those on the audio, is luke.dashjr.org/program/bitcoin/files/chart/software.html. You can check this out for yourself. Do not trust us, verify, and we'll continuously keep you guys up to date on that as well. So make sure you run a node. But also, if you like this show and want to hear it in audio form, we are on Anchor, we are on Spotify, we are on Apple. Again, I'm pretty sure we're on every single podcasting app out there. But we are a part of the Value for Value economy on Fountain. You can stream us sats, you can give us some comments, and shouts out to you guys that are clipping us as well. I think I have one at least for tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday, so I will be bringing the receipts and bringing you guys into the show. So if you've been streaming the sats, I'll get it on the show tomorrow, guys. We appreciate it.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much for joining us. Another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. Number one thing you could do to help this show is share this video. In fact, share all Bitcoin content. Spread the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. Consider hitting that like button. And you feel like if we provided you value, consider subscribing. Love you all. We'll see you tomorrow for the last episode of the week of Simply Bitcoin Live.